I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome back to Radio Times. When I was growing up, only tough guys had tattoos. Today, it's a different story. A recent Pew Research poll found that almost 25% of Americans have a tattoo. And according to the American Academy of Dermatology, nearly 50% of 20-somethings have a tattoo. Just look around at the artful and not-so-artful inked bodies, and those numbers start to make sense. True confessions, I got a tattoo in Sturgis, South Dakota in 1993, part of my 20th wedding anniversary celebration. Well, we were curious at Radio Times about the increasing popularity of tattoos, how workplaces are handling staff with obvious tattoos, and what to do about tattoo regrets. Joining us here in our Philadelphia studios is Tim Pangburn. He's the owner of Art Machine Productions in the Fishtown section of Philadelphia. He's a tattoo artist and is featured as a cover-up guy on the Learning Channel's America's Worst Tattoos, which is beginning filming its second season this month in September. And Tim, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here, Marty. Thank you.
So you've been tattooing, what, about 15 years?
15 years.
Have you noticed this increase in tattooing?
There's been a drastic change. There really has. It was a completely different business when I started. It's mostly been for the better, though.
Certainly for business, right?
Definitely for business, yes, yes.
What do you think? I mean, what do you think, from your perspective, explains this growing popularity?
At some point, I mean, for me personally, I grew up and, you know, nobody had tattoos around me. My great-grandfather did, and that was it. And I was kind of infatuated with that whole idea of, you know, the permanent marks on your body and all that stuff. And,
what did your grandfather have? I'm curious.
Oh, he had like a Felix the Cat. He had Betty Boop. He had a watch around his wrist on 13 o'clock. So I mean, that was my exposure to tattoos when I was a kid. But as I was a teenager and like in the 90s, bands had tattoos, so you start looking up to them. And my older brother started getting tattooed, and I got tattooed and just knew that that's what I had to do. But even at that point, that was 1998 when I started tattooing. Even then, it was still a little bit underground. I wasn't very mainstream. At some point, it was like media got a hold of it and somehow I got a television show, and that completely changed everything. That was Miami Ink, and I think that was 2005. Everything changed after that.
Oh, that's interesting. So it really was TV or media of some sort that really just pushed this tattoo craze.
I feel like it had been happening already, but once that happened, it just snowballed after that, and things are different now. A lot of people, I fail to think about it sometimes because that was 8 years ago, but there's a lot of artists that have been tattooing less than that. They don't remember before that, you know?
The good old days, right?
Yeah. Well, and even me, tattooing 15 years, I came in on the tail end of what a lot of people refer to as the good old days, you know? A lot of people think about the, like, 70s and 80s as being, like, the golden age.
You have a lot of tattoos.
I do.
I can see them kind of sprouting down your arms and a little bit around your neck. So when did you get your first tattoo?
17.
You were 17 years old.
Yeah, my mother signed for me. I hate that tattoo.
Where is that?
It's on my calf. I was trying to convince her to let me get it on my forearm, and the artist talked me out of it. They're like, don't do that. You'll regret that. And I was like, no, it's going to be so cool. But yeah, I got it on my calf. It's actually one of the most well done tattoos I have. It's 17 years old and it's still like solid black in there. Yeah.
And one tattoo led to another. I have a friend who started getting tattoos, and I'm seeing him think more about them. And it's not so much an obsession or even an addiction. It seems like a collection. It seems like he's collecting tattoos.
It really is. It turns into that. These days, it's not uncommon that there's people who are collectors, and they travel around the country, sometimes around the world, just to go get tattooed by specific artists. Which is great with tattoo conventions because, you know, the artists travel around. And you can kind of hang out in your hometown and get a new tattoo every year from somebody you want to get tattooed by.
So do you have all the tattoos that you want, or are you still getting more? And I should say, I see them on your arms. I'm assuming your back,
I don't have my back done yet. I have it planned out, but I don't have my back done. I'm actually getting a lot of things lasered because, you know, I started getting tattooed when I was 17 and then started working in a tattoo shop when I was 19. So I was just kind of getting whatever, whenever. I just wanted more tattoos, and I didn't make the best decisions with them. So, Now they have to go.
Oh, dear. And that's lasering them off?
Yes. And it's.
And can you do that? I mean, can you really get rid of a tattoo like that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's a lengthy process and it can be painful. But, you know, if you really, really want a tattoo gone, then it's right. Definitely an option.
I'm curious about when someone comes into your shop or certainly other people's shops as well about and they perhaps they're 17 years old or 18 years old. They want their first tattoo. How much do people think about what they're getting themselves into?
Well, I mean,
it's
I
kind of a broad generalization.
Yeah, yeah, because it can depend from shop to shop, artist to artist. My shop, we don't tattoo anybody under 18, regardless of whether there's parental consent. I believe in Philadelphia, the law is 16, but I just don't want to deal with that.
They're too young, you think?
Yeah, I mean. It's a very serious decision, and the younger you are, the you know you might not be thinking about your future. You know, I know I didn't, and I probably didn't start getting tattoos that I still like now until I was 24, maybe, just because I was getting them to get them.
Are there certain themes that you see? For instance, are there certain kind of themes you see today that people want in their tattoos?
Well, it's all over the board because there's so many different styles of tattooing, and some people are drawn to one style over another. Some people only want to get traditional Japanese tattoos, and then some people want to get nothing but black and white tattoos. So there's a lot of different I don't want to call them trends, but there's right. So many different styles that people kind of bounce all over the place with it.
Do you think of yourself as an artist, a tattoo artist?
I do. A lot of times this is an argument I've had. It's like an ongoing discussion with a few friends of mine, you know, whether we're artists or whether we're craftsmen.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, I do consider myself an artist, and I don't think you can do tattoos without artistic talent. You know, but at the same time, I kind of feel like, you know, it's a craft. It's a set of skills that's being handed down from person to person, and you learn how to put a tattoo together. One of my friends told me that it's a lot more like building a house than doing a painting. And that made a lot of sense to me. It's
the kind of construction of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because it doesn't matter what tattoo you're doing. It's the same principles that go into putting it together and actually executing it.
So how did you get trained, or who trained you, or how did you learn this craft, this art?
A friend of my brother's was tattooing at a shop in South Jersey. And he said that he would give me an apprenticeship. And then shortly after that, he got fired. Things happen in shops sometimes.
Yes, I know.
but the owner told me, he was like, you keep coming up here and I'll teach you how. And you know, he gave me a shot. And I ended up working for him for about 7 years.
And what did he teach you? I mean, because it's such a personal thing, yes?
It is. A lot of the process of learning the tattoo is kind of being broken down. So you can be built back up. Like, you come into a lot of misconceptions about, you know, what it is. Like, in all honesty, when I decided I wanted to tattoo, I thought it was like I could party and it was like a rock star thing and I'd be so cool because I could do tattoos. And you know, when I got there, I was like, this is hard work. This isn't anything like I thought. And it was, you know, it was kind of a wake up call. So, but I mean, I spent years scrubbing floors with bleach. So,
oh, is that right?
Well, I learned hard work. I definitely learned hard work.
Well, in fact, before the show, we were talking about people who have pretty elaborate full body tattoos. This might be someone whose body you worked on for hours and hours, days, weeks, months.
Yeah,
maybe.
It takes years to get work that extensive finished. I've never done a full body suit, but I've done full back pieces, full sleeves, and I've done full backs that I put 35, 40 hours in. Same thing with full sleeves. So I can imagine and a full leg can take 60, 70 hours. So, I mean, you're talking a lot of work. But it's dedication. It's a commitment.
And do you find people want to talk, or they're just kind of, you know, have gotten very small tattoo? It is painful. It does hurt.
Yeah, everybody's different. Some people just want to sit there in silence, and sometimes it's from location to location. I know sometimes I'm okay and I'm talkative, right. But if I'm getting a really painful spot, I'm silent. I just want it to be over.
for them and for you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what are some of the painful spots?
Your ribs, stomach, chest. The sides of my neck were pretty bad. My head was real bad.
I should say you have a full head of hair here, but you did tattoo the top, what, the side of your head?
Yeah, I got the side of my head tattooed about maybe 5 years ago.
Right. Why did you do that?
Well, I got Tibetan writing on the side of my head and a lotus with a jewel in the center. It was just I consider myself a Buddhist. Oh. And the idea of the symbolism of the lotus flower, coming from the mud, and the jewel of the lotus is supreme enlightenment. So I figured I'd get that on my head. And I knew it would be just for me if I grew my hair back.
And it is, obviously.
At this point, yeah. I used to keep my head shaved, and I did like, having a big head tattoo with my head shaved, but.
But that's a painful part of the body, I'm assuming, to tattoo.
Yeah. It wasn't a lot of fun for me. I wouldn't do it again.
Now, are there certain tattoo artists that you go to, or people that sort of special, that know your taste and even know what your body is like?
Well, I feel like for anybody, it's selecting an artist is about finding people whose work you like, but not just whose work you like. Once you can talk to them, somebody whose personality you like, I mean, you're going to spend a lot of time with that person. So I think it's good to be able to get along with them. So a lot of people that I end up getting tattooed by are friends of mine. So they're people I already know, and I know I get along with, and I like what they do. So, it makes for a better experience in the long run.
If someone comes in to you and says, I'd like to have my face tattooed, what's your response?
I don't tattoo faces.
And why is that?
Well, I think a lot of people jump into getting tattooed, and they don't necessarily think about the repercussions of what they get and where they get it. And I've seen a lot of, it's become very popular with people to get their hands and their necks, and it's increasingly popular to get things on your face. Oh. And I just feel like that's not necessarily the best decision unless you're already secure in a career that's going to allow that. Once you go below the wrists or above the collar, you've pretty much, we call hand tattoos job killers.
Really?
Yeah.
Call them job killers?
Yeah.
And here you are with hand tattoos, but
I'm in a career that allows it. Well, and I didn't even get my forearms tattooed until I was tattooing. So, yeah, I want to.
You wouldn't be working on Wall Street, I guess.
No.
Looking the way you look.
No, and I feel it's kind of my responsibility as a tattoo artist to be able to help clients with those decisions and, make them think about that. I won't tattoo anybody's hands or neck that isn't already secure. Most of the time when I tattoo hands, it ends up being on other tattoo artists.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a perfect segue because we have Lori Rudeman waiting in the wings then, and that's Tim Pangburn. He's the owner of Art Machine Productions. It's a tattoo place here in Philadelphia in the Fishtown section of the city. He's also a tattoo artist and is featured as a cover-up guy on the Learning Channel's America's Worst Tattoos. And we want to hear from you about your tattoo. 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
The Elizabeth House supports WHYY and announces the first annual Workforce Opportunities Conference, Wednesday, September 25th at the Chase Center on the Riverfront in Wilmington. The conference links those searching for traditional employment, contract work, small business ventures, and volunteer opportunities with business and government employers, staffing agencies, and educational institutions. Sponsored in part by the Company Corporation. To register online, events.theelizabethhouse.org.
Later today, it's an NPR News special, live coverage of President Obama's address to the nation. The president is expected to make his case for military action against Syria in response to its reported use of chemical weapons. Join NPR for in-depth coverage and analysis. That's an NPR News special, live coverage of President Obama's address to the nation.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, President Obama prepares to address the nation on Syria. Secretary of State John Kerry says it's time to act.
The risk of not acting is greater than the risk of acting. And everybody needs to stop and think about that hard.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. And if you're just joining us, Tim Pangburn is our guest. We're talking about tattoos. He's the owner of Art Machine Productions here in Philadelphia. And Lori Rudeman, has been listening in, and she joins us now. She's a human resources and social media consultant. She blogs at thecynicalgirl.com. And Lori, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Hey, nice to be here, Marty. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
So how many tattoos do you have, Lori?
Oh, isn't that the question of the day? Marty, before I tell you, you have to tell me, what's your tattoo?
It's a rose on my left shoulder. I don't often get to see it, and I often forget that I have it, but I did get it 20 years ago, and to be honest with you, it could use some work, but I'm hoping it just kind of fades away. How about for you, Lori? I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, I have quite a few, and it was always a challenge working in human resources because I was in a position to interview and hire, and all of my tattoos are, funny enough, in places that I can veil and cover up. So before Tim gave that great advice, that was first and foremost on my mind, that anybody who's interested in having a thriving career really needs to think about tattoo placement.
And our HR people are, and employers having to think more about this, Lori, because so many people have tattoos?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I think we see more and more tattoos in the workplace. And, you know, when you have a job, you are an extension of a corporate brand. No matter how much somebody tells you, oh, we want to hire individuals and free spirits. And so sometimes the higher up the food chain, the more and more conservative your appearance has to be, and that's becoming more and more of a challenge as the Generation Y kids out there are tattooing on their forearms, on their hands, on their necks. And I will tell you, a neck tattoo is definitely a job killer.
Along with the hands, as you were saying, Tim.
Oh,
absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. But would you say, Lori, that in the sort of artier part of the job market, there's more openness to tattoos, or maybe not so much?
Well, you know, there is, but that's just a small segment of the workforce. And I think there's this myth out there that so many people are sitting at home on their computers, telecommuting, working in really cool, creative jobs. That's not the kind of jobs that most people have in America. Most people go to work, they face customers, they work in retail establishments or hospitality. I just read somewhere that 70% of the new jobs that are being created are in that hospitality and healthcare and consumer-facing world. So if you're working at a local fast food joint, there's certainly something to be said about making sure, if you want to be a manager, how you present yourself to customers. And, you know, it's not just tattoos, it's piercings as well, because people who pierce their face and pierce their nose cannot have those kinds of jewelries and things on their faces when they're serving food. So it's really becoming a challenge to find people who can, you know, conform to rules, present to customers, and do a good job.
Yeah, Tim, I'd be curious about your thoughts. Have you run into this as someone that does tattoos?
Personally, I'm a very nonconformist, but I guess that's why I do what I do. And I do wish that, I wish that people didn't have to worry about their tattoos and didn't have to hide them. And it's gotten better over the years. It's a lot more accepted than it was. A lot of the social stigma is going, but it's still there. It's a very important decision for people to make. If people insist on getting their hands and necks tattooed and they do it, well, you know, that's on them, and it's up to them to
they're
figure
adults,
out what to,
right?
Yeah, they're adults. Figure out what to do with their career from there.
But do you have clientele that would include, you know, I'm thinking lawyers
tattoo,
and doctors and,
yes.
I mean, all the sort of high-powered professions that we think of?
I tattoo lawyers. I tattoo doctors, nurses, real estate agents. I tattoo, you know, business owners and young professionals. And they generally tend to not get their hands and necks tattooed, right. But they get extensive work. You know, like I said, full sleeves, full back pieces. I tattoo a lot of teachers. A lot of teachers with full sleeves. Long sleeves to work.
Well, it's such an interesting phenomenon, Lori. I was talking with Tim about this, and we'll get to our callers. Just this growing popularity of tattoos. And perhaps in a generation or two, it will be nothing. It'll be like having your ears pierced or something like that.
Well, certainly I think that might be true, but I also think there's something to be said for when you go to work, this idea that you can still retain a lot of your individuality is a great idea, but oftentimes it is a myth. You are hired and your labor is a commodity, and if you do anything to jeopardize revenue or profitability in certain segments of the marketplace, you're detracting. You're not an asset to the organization. And believe me, I believe that adults are adults and they should do what they want, and you should hire people based on skills and competencies. But that's why I no longer work in human resources and I'm a consultant, because the modern day HR department, for as progressive as they want to be, still has a lot of concern about the way people present themselves.
But would you say, I mean, if we're talking about tattoos, does that fall under dress code? And does that fall under the, basically, that a workplace can set a dress code, including a code about tattoos?
Absolutely. It varies from municipality to municipality, but certainly, just in a very broad way, employers are within their rights to say, hey, you have to dress a certain way. Think of it as part of a uniform, right? When you go to work every day, you have a dress code that you have to wear. And if you're showing your tattoo and it's not consistent with the uniform, you can certainly be written up, or you can certainly have some issues with your employer. So, yeah, absolutely.
Anything you want to add to that, Tim?
No, I do agree with that, and those are the things that I feel like people need to keep in mind when they get tattooed, and it's one of the things that I try to explain to people, because a lot of young kids don't think about it, and it can be very detrimental. I had a kid who wanted to – his first tattoos. He wanted to get two tattoos on his hands, and I refused to do it, and I talked him out of it, and you know, told him I'm not doing that, and I did something on his arm, and he ended up joining the military and going – and you know, being military intelligence, and doing, you know, that's a very serious job. He never would have even been able to get into.
Do people have some people gotten angry at you because you won't do a tattoo for them?
Well, I understand that sometimes you lose business over that. And if I tell somebody I'm not tattooing your hand because I, you know, don't think you're in a position in life to do it, I mean, maybe that's not my decision to make, but I think morally and ethically, it's something that I need to consider for myself. I don't want to come off as a guy that's just, you know, out trying to get everybody's money.
Like, right.
The money's not that important
for,
to me.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Laura? Then we'll get to our callers.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I love that Tim has a code of ethics there, because, you know, I'm a woman with tattoos on my chest, my back, my arm, and I have found that I'm in Manhattan in August, and it's 104 degrees, and I'm all covered up, and I'm all sweaty, and I have to explain to people why I'm covered up, and I certainly wish that I would have had a tattoo artist 15 years ago who said to me, hey, you may want to rethink your choices. So good job, Tim.
And how old were you 15 years ago, Laura?
Oh, I was 14. Come on now.
I just did the math. Let me reintroduce the two of you. That's Lori Rudiman. She's a human resources and social media consultant. She blogs at thecynicalgirl.com. And with us here in our Philadelphia studio is Tim Pangburn, owner of Art Machine Productions. That's in Philadelphia's Fishtown section. He's also a tattoo artist featured as the cover-up or a cover-up guy on the Learning Channel's America's Worst Tattoos. And I do want to talk about that as well. But I want to get some callers in first at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Questions, comments, give us a call. Looks like we have Justin from New Powelton joining us on Radio Times. Justin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
And Tim, it's an honor to be speaking with you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a tattoo artist myself. I did my three-year apprenticeship here in Philadelphia, in West Philly. And now I'm working at a shop called Money and Ink in North Philly. And I also have a part-time job at Starbucks for health benefits. So, and at Starbucks, we have to keep our tattoos covered all the time. So the 4 years I've been working at Starbucks, I've worn long sleeves and long pants every day. But I really just consider it a decision I made when I started getting tattoos, and also a decision I made to work at Starbucks. And as a tattoo artist, I feel that similar responsibility to inform people that I'm working with about their decisions. But in Philadelphia, I feel like there's a huge problem or an opportunity for education about people doing illegal tattoos out of their houses or at tattoo parties. And so I wonder, Tim's perspective, or y'all perspectives, if there's, like, what can be done about educating common people who maybe don't think about going to a tattoo shop just because of the prevalence of illegal tattoo parties.
Sure. No, Justin, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me toss that first to you, Tim, and then, Laurie, I'd like to hear from you as well. Tattoo parties.
This is definitely a problem. It's a problem everywhere, but it's definitely a problem in Philadelphia. Unfortunately, it's very easy to get your hands on tattoo equipment, and you can pretty much order them out of the back of a magazine and, you know, be ready to go. Unfortunately, if you're not properly trained, you not only are going to do terrible tattoos, but you're also going to run huge risks of spreading different diseases. You could, you know, Hep B, Hep C, HIV, like the list could go on and on. If you are reusing needles, reusing inks, these are all things that, you know, without a proper apprenticeship and without learning from somebody who's in the business and understands these things, you're putting mm-hmm. people at risk. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot, and unfortunately, not much is done about it. I've never once seen any agency go after people for tattooing out of their house or anything. It is illegal, and it is punishable with fines. I don't think jail time, but I think fines can be.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything happen.
Well, that's interesting, Laurie. I'd be curious about your thoughts, and I find that quite scary, to be honest with you.
You know, Marty, I know we're in a recession and some people really struggle for money and haven't been able to go back to work or earn what they used to earn. But if you can't afford to get a tattoo at a shop, you don't deserve that tattoo. That's all I'm going to say about that. Hold off, save your money, and go to some place that's licensed and clean and where you can find referrals for tattoo artists.
Fair enough. Justin, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me see what looks like Till from South Philadelphia has to say. Till, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Till.
Hi. I'm a nurse, as well as having many tattoos. I didn't get any tattoos, so I was almost 30, and I already kind of knew what direction I was moving in professionally and was in school. So even though I have several, there's none visible. I have my chest covered, I have legs covered, nothing on my back yet. But they're larger, like, unified pieces instead of, like, little things here and there. But even working in medicine, more doctors and nurses or other medical professionals do have lots of tattoos.
Huh.
And I think as the population ages, people now in their 20s and 30s and 40s or more will be more accepting of their peers in positions, like, within medicine.
Well, that's
at the same time, I try to keep myself as neutral as possible, in my work especially, because, you know, I should, you know, I don't want anything about myself necessarily distracting, or, you know, it's not necessarily about me.
Yeah, I hear you. I
also see a lot of people's bodies and tattoos. I know that, like, not all tattoos are equal. You know, someone having a rose on their shoulder is different than some other pretty terrible tattoos I've seen, or poor decisions, or something that is, you know, visible and just not even attractive.
Right, I hear you. Till, I'm going to take your question. Actually, the first part, Laurie, I'm going to toss that to you. He works in the medical profession. He sees other people like himself that have tattoos. They're covered. But perhaps, you know, as these 20s and 30-somethings start aging and graduating from medical school, we'll see more of them.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting because all of my tattoos are for me as a person. And professionally, I want to be seen for more than my body and more than what I visually represent. So I think it's an interesting balance that young men and women have to think about when they tattoo themselves, whether it's in a public way on their body or in a private way. What are they trying to communicate about their persona, and how is that going to impact their professional brand? So for me, it was really important that whatever I had, I was able to cover up so that I could be more than just, you know, a tattoo on my chest or a tattoo on my upper arm.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, the kind of personal tattoos, Tim, and the more public tattoos.
I personally, I think every tattoo should be for a personal reason. And I do have my hands and my neck and throat. They were personal reasons for me. It's very important to me. I feel like I would be lying to myself if I didn't get completely covered. It's been something I've wanted to do since I was young. I mean, I remember being 13 years old and saying, when I get older, I'm going to get covered in tattoos. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I've just made that decision that, you know, neck down, that's, I want to be completely covered. And I would feel like if you know, for professional reasons, if I had to not get my hands or not get my neck, I would be disappointed. Mm. And it would be something I would constantly think about.
But you're saying that that tattoos make you your authentic self, that you are Tim Pangburn because of your tattoos in part?
Well, I mean, it is. It's part of me. It's definitely a part of my personality. Tattoos are a huge part of my life. I mean, you know, aside from, you know, having them, it's like I do them. This right. is my livelihood.
Right. We're talking
so,
about them.
Yeah, right. yeah. So, I mean, it's prevalent in everything I do.
Let me get, looks like Laura Jane from Glenside to join us on Radio Times. Laura Jane, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a position as a bicycle delivery person that I had to quit, actually, because unlike the couriers who hang out totally tatted in, like, Rittenhouse, this was for a franchised sandwich joint, and they wanted me to have no visible tattoos, and I have 8, and they're all in pretty outward spots. So biking through West Philly in the summer in pants and long sleeves just wasn't an option. And it really bums me out a lot because I feel like the stigma is super outdated and out of touch. I mean, I've had a professor of Soviet cinema with tattoos, and in no way did I judge him for that. I just think it's a really sad thing that we could overlook totally qualified people for all sorts of positions just because of tattoos. Like, I have a degree in journalism with an extensive resume, and the idea that all of that could just be thrown out the window because I have an armadillo on my arm, I think that's really, like, something that we need to reevaluate as a society.
Well, it's a great call, Laura Jane. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. Laurie, what do you say in response?
I agree, but, you know, we face all sorts of biases in the workforce. People are discriminated against because they're a certain color or a certain religion or a certain size. So absolutely, it is an outdated way of thinking about how we present ourselves to the world and whether or not we're qualified. So I would challenge the caller, if that's how you feel, you need to get into a position of power, you need to start your own business, and you need to hire people just like you and start to change the world.
What do you think, Tim?
I do agree with that because, you know, a lot of times if you're going to be discriminated against because of your tattoos, then you have to do something to take that power back. I completely agree. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. That happens. That happens. Laurie, we have to say goodbye to you in just a couple of minutes. How many interviews have you done as a HR media consultant on tattoos recently?
You know what? It's very popular. It's very trendy. So this is something that we'll be seeing more and more of. And I think to your former caller's point of view, you know, there's a younger generation coming up and they don't understand the issues with tattoos. So I think this will be on the radar for a while.
Well, Laurie Ruderman, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you again.
You're welcome. And she's a human resources and social media consultant. She blogs at thecynicalgirl.com. Tim Pangburn staying with us for the rest of the hour. We are talking about tattoos, about tattoo designs, about tattoo regrets. And he's the owner of Art Machine Productions in Philadelphia's Fishtown section. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thomas Jefferson University School of Population Health supports WHYY and offers a fully accredited master's degree in public health. An open house will be held at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, September 16th in the school's offices on the 10th floor of 901 Walnut Street. Registration online at jefferson.edu/openhouse. The Thomas Jefferson University School of Population Health, bringing health and healthcare together.
A president with a progressive economic agenda. A president devoted to keeping his country out of war, who decides he has no choice but to go to war. A president whose vision for peace is blocked by Republican legislators. On the next Fresh Air, we talk about President Woodrow Wilson with A. Scott Berg, whose new biography, Wilson, has just been published. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
to sit or to stand for Syria.
Not to act would send a dangerous signal to dictators all over the world that they can use weapons of mass destruction without consequences.
NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen making the case for an international effort to intervene in Syria. We'll continue the discussion next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane. We are talking about tattoos and what to do about them. Tim Pangburn, our guest, owner of Art Machine Productions. He's also featured as a cover-up guy on the Learning Channel's America's Worst Tattoos. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Tim, Washington, D.C. is considering instituting a 24-hour waiting period for a tattoo. What do you think about that idea?
I think it's a terrible idea. For one, people are adults. You're an adult, and the reason they want to institute this is to help reduce the possibility of people having a regret about their tattoo and making a bad decision. And I really feel like it's not their place to say, "Hey, don't do that. Like, you know, you might regret that later." I mean, some people do regret it,
yeah.
You know, but and that's kind of part of getting tattooed. You know, sometimes you regret it, but it, you know, when you work with an artist, they're going to try to steer you in the right direction. You know, if you're drunk, which is one of the things they talk about, if you're drunk, you will be turned away. Any reputable artist is going to turn you away. Mm-hmm. By law, that's what you have to do. And geez, it's just a pain trying to tattoo somebody that's drunk
anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, you turn them away, but drunk people are wobbling around. But anyway, I think it's just a way of it will really kill a lot of tattoo shops. It'll be a huge, huge hit to the business. A lot of people rely on walk-in traffic. I've been tattooing for 15 years. At this point, I'm working by appointment only. But you know, the first 7-8 years of my career was all walk-ins, just sitting around waiting for people to come in the shop. If I wasn't able to do that, you know, I never would have been able to build a clientele. And, you know, who knows if I'd be tattooing right now.
You're known as a cover-up guy or cover-up artist, someone who, I guess, takes someone's tattoo. Perhaps they have regrets about it or they change their mind about it. And you looks. I've seen some of your work. You turn it into something else, right?
Yeah, I've kind of built my career off of doing cover-ups. There's something about, you know, fixing an old tattoo or getting rid of it and putting something new there that gives a better sense of accomplishment and, you know, sense of, you know, enjoyment in what you're doing. And the response from people is different. They're so much happier than, you know, just getting a tattoo. Because they've been walking around with a tattoo that they didn't like, that they made some poor decision at some point, and you know, then you put something nice over top of that.
Yeah,
they're super happy.
Do you sometimes feel like you're a therapist?
Well, I mean, I feel like you know, you build relationships with your clients.
Right.
You know, people. Sometimes you spend, like I said, 20, 30, 40 hours with people. You know, you kind of become friends with them a bit. And, yeah, they might vent some of their troubles, but, you know, it kind of goes the other way. Sometimes you're venting your troubles, too. Like,
it's like going to the barber, the hairdresser.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
On America's Worst Tattoos, is there a worse tattoo for you? I mean, one where you just thought, oh, this is just terrible and I'm going to fix it.
Well, there's I've fixed a lot of really bad stuff. I mean, things that some people don't want to try to cover, you know, things that are like big black blobs of mess, and sometimes I'll tackle that stuff.
Yeah.
But there have been times where people have brought me things where I can't do anything with it unless they get laser removal first. So
let me get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. We have, looks like, Evan from Northeast Philadelphia joining us on Radio Times. Evan, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I've had tattoos since I was 18, and I have my entire back covered. And every one of them I've thought about for at least a year.
Mm.
Most of my back I thought about for 5 years or more before I even got it started, before I talked to an artist to have it designed. And my wife's a teacher now in the city, and she sees kids since like a high school, and she sees kids with these like sleeves of horrible, horrible tattoos that, you know, they got in their friends' living rooms or other illegal like parties and other things like that. And she's asked me, and I've all thought about it, like, how long is a good enough time to recommend to somebody waiting before they get something done?
Well, Evan, it's an interesting comment, and obviously if we're talking about students, they're under maybe 18 or under 16, but it's interesting. Here we have Tim, a guy that thought for 5 years about what he wanted on his back.
Well, some of my tattoos I've put extensive thought into. I've had plans for my back for years, and I haven't started it yet. Some of my tattoos I got kind of spur of the moment. I planned on getting tattooed, didn't know what I was getting until I sat down, and then, oh, let's do this. And some of those I love. So, I mean, it can vary from person to person. But as far as, like, you know, kids in high school getting covered in terrible tattoos and getting their faces tattooed, this goes back to, you know, people illegally tattooing out of their houses, which is, like I said, that's a problem. And I really wish there was some way to enforce the laws with that.
Evan, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And you can call as well. Just a couple open lines at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY, talking about tattoos. It must be interesting. I mean, you must know people's skin so well. I mean, obviously, someone who's 20, 25 years old has very different kind of skin than, let's say, a 60 or 70 or maybe even an 80-year-old. Much, much thinner and perhaps probably harder to work with when someone is older.
Yes. It's generally speaking, as somebody gets older, their skin does get a little thinner. A lot of the it's a little less stretchy.
Yeah, stretchy.
Yeah.
More hangy.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you have to be a little easier when you're tattooing older people. But it's a generalization. Also, you can have somebody in their 20s that spends all their time in the sun and their skin is really difficult to tattoo. And every person's a little bit different. Right. Usually, you know, once you've been tattooing for a little while, then anytime you start a tattoo, you kind of get a feel for how that tattoo is going to go and, you know, for what that person's skin is going to be like.
Well, that's interesting. You can see what sun damage on people's skin?
Absolutely. Once you start tattooing, you can kind of tell. It's just different, kind of different texture to the skin. It's not as easy to tattoo.
Oh, interesting.
It's definitely a little more difficult.
How about people, you know, African Americans or Asians? I mean, did you find different skin color associated with things like race?
It is.
Certainly color, but texture?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. Tattooing African Americans, you have to be a little more careful because their skin's more prone to scarring. So it's a slightly different process, especially if you're doing large work. You know, if you're doing like full sleeves, I have to approach it differently than I would approach it if I was tattooing like an Irish guy or something. It's completely different skin types.
How about scars? Do you work with people's scars?
I can. I tend not to work with like major scarring, although it's always on a person-to-person basis.
Yeah.
It depends on the age of the scar, the type of scarring it is. But yeah, it's always person-to-person, so I always do like a consult with them first about it.
Is there a tattoo that you feel is your absolute best work?
Well,
do you think that way?
I don't because, again, I do consider myself an artist. So in that same breath, I'm my own worst critic.
Of course.
I mean, there are definitely tattoos I'm proud of and I'm very happy with how they turned out. But even then, I'm looking at it like I should have done this. I should have done that. But that's just how artists are. So.
But do you have a kind of specialty that you're known for?
Yes. Aside from doing cover ups, I do a lot of new school, which is kind of like it's like kind of a cartoon animated approach.
How does that work?
Well, I'll take an image and then do like an illustrated version of it, and then you make it a little cartoony. I came into drawing and art through comic books and cartoons in the early 90s.
Oh, so, I can see those. Yes.
Yeah, it was all it was this whole range of comic books, and like Ren and Stimpy was what kind of like set me off when I was like 12 years old with drawing. So. Had huge influence on what I do.
And they have a kind of animated look to them?
A bit, yeah. So, I mean, everything has, like, you know, bold lines, bright colors, stuff like that.
Now, how did you get involved in America's Worst Tattoos on the Learning Channel? How did they find you?
A friend of mine, Mike Chambers, was brought them to my booth at the Philadelphia convention last year. They happened to be at the show casting. I don't know if they would have found me because there were 400 booths at the convention. But they came over and I talked to them for a few minutes. They looked at my portfolio. And then I went and did like a little on-camera interview the next day. And they called me back a few months later, said they wanted to shoot pilots. So, and I guess they got a good response because we did 10 more episodes after that and we're getting ready to film season 2.
And is it the sort of reality show formula? I think that we know that obviously someone has a tattoo they regret and come to see you and you're there to try to help them out.
It's pretty much a makeover show.
Yeah.
It really is because it's not so much about me. It's more about the stories of the people right. And, oh, I have this terrible tattoo, and then you fix it, and then they're all happy. And, you know, it's just like a makeover show. They do a reveal. They're not allowed to look at the tattoo while you're doing it. It's a lot of fun, though. Yeah. All the clients have been great, and it's gotten a good response in the tattoo community, which has been very important to me.
And when we talk about the tattoo community, as I said in my intro, I mean, when I was a kid, it was just bad guys that had tattoos, and the tattoo community is much more diverse today, yeah?
Yeah, I think in the mid-90s, mid to late-90s, a lot of people with art backgrounds, people that went to college for art, started coming into tattooing and bringing this whole other thing into it. Right. It's totally different than it used to be, but it brought artists in. You know, there was a lot of that. It was bad guys and stuff before. Yeah. It was like that a lot. Even now it's rough around the edges, you know. It's not a very formal kind of business, you know.
But do you? We'll get back to our colors. But do you sometimes worry that it's going to be so mainstream it won't have that sort of counterculture feel to it?
In certain ways, I do. It's not so much that I worry about the counterculture feel. It's more that I worry about tattooing becoming so mainstream that corporations step in too much.
Like Pepsi and tattoos on our bodies.
Well,
kind of
taking it from the artists and saying, well, this is what we're doing and you're going to come along with us. I think it's very important for artists to be involved in every aspect of tattooing, you know, from shop ownership to down to scrubbing the floors.
Let me see what looks like Danielle from Collegeville has to say. Danielle, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, I'm not in the tattoo world at all, and I am kind of interested in getting a tattoo. What would be the easiest way for me and people like me to find a clean shop that uses clean equipment?
And Danielle, let me just ask you, so why are you thinking about this? I'm curious.
I've been thinking about tattoos for a really long time. I want to get my son's feet tattooed on me, probably on my leg, maybe. I don't know. But I'd like to talk to somebody about it, but I don't know how the best way to find a clean and reputable shop is.
Danielle, let's see what Tim has to say.
Well, there's a few things to take into account. One is that almost any quality artist is also going to, you know, do everything in a clean fashion. So, you know, the portfolio of the artist, the quality of their work is very important, but ways that you can assure that they're a clean, reputable shop. In Pennsylvania, Philadelphia is the only place with health department regulations.
Oh, is that right?
Outside of Philadelphia, there are no health department regulations on tattooing.
Huh.
But there are a lot of things that you can ask. You can ask shops to assure that they're doing things in a clean fashion. You want to make sure that they spore test their autoclave at least monthly.
And you can ask them that?
Yes, and they should be able to provide a paper, you know, showing their most recent spore test and that their autoclave is working properly. Make sure that they're using single-use disposable needles and either single-use disposable tubes or, properly sterilized metal tubes. If they're using those, then you can check the package and see that it's been sterilized. You want to make – one of the other things that's a little harder to catch, but again, any reputable artist is going to be good with this, is like cross-contamination, making sure they're not touching a dirty surface and then touching a clean surface. You just want to make sure you're paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you see a guy drop a glove and pick it up and put it on, then that's a red flag.
Yeah. And don't go to one of those parties, Danielle, that we've been talking about as well. Do you find as a tattoo artist that there are new tools being developed all the time? I mean, that the technology is getting better and you have more tools at your disposal?
I'd say they've been fine-tuned. a standard coil tattoo machine is the oldest style of tattoo machine. They've been around over 100 years, and they're almost exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah, just about. I mean, they've fine-tuned them a bit. There's other styles of machines that, some of them are a little newer, and, some people prefer those. Ink has made huge leaps. So the pigments we use 30, 40 years ago, there were heavy metals in some of the pigments. Red had cadmium in it. White had zinc in it. Mm. And, that's obviously not the safest thing to be doing. These days, that doesn't happen anymore. That's pretty much gone. It's become a little easier to get a lot of the equipment, which is good and bad, like I said. But it's not so much that things have changed a lot. They've just fine-tuned the equipment, and it's a lot higher quality now.
We're almost out of time here, but is one of the occupational hazards of being a tattoo artist is that you're just judging other people's tattoos all the time. As you're walking around, you're saying, oh, that doesn't work, or that's a beautiful tattoo.
It's definitely something you do, but it's one of those things it's what you do for a living, so you're constantly looking.
Right.
And also, you're constantly looking and learning, too, so...
There's a lot out there to look at, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's Tim Pangburn, owner of Art Machine Productions in Philadelphia's Fishtown section. Again, a tattoo artist who's featured as a cover-up guy on the Learning Channel's America's Worst Tattoos. And we also spoke with Lori Rudiman, a human resources and social media consultant, about tattoos at work. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. We have been posting some photos of Tim's tattoos. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. The show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Bilder, and Emily Bryant. Thanks so much for joining us.